May the Lord help us to commence our anniversary services by singing hymn 920. When to worship saints assemble, let the song to Jesus flow. He forsook his ancient glory, groaned and bled for worms below. Ransomed mortals join to swell the sacred song, hymn 920.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the Gospel according to John, chapter 4. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4. When, therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marvelled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or, Why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labour. Other men laboured, and ye have entered into their labours. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honour in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. The Lord bless that reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. O thou most holy, gracious Lord God, as we come assembled together to worship thee, may we be found worshipping in spirit and in truth. Lord, we do fear lest our coming should be but formality. How easy it is for us to be gathered on these occasions, finding there is somewhat fleshly attraction, but may we come solely for spiritual profit. And may it be, Lord, that as we thus gather, each heart is up unto thee, desiring that there may be a portion for their needy souls. Lord, it is a question, are we poor and needy? How easy the words may fall from our lips, but oh, to look into our heart and to realize that there is much that needs to be done. How we need the pulling down of the strongholds, the laying bare of our own selves, that we may not trust in ourselves. How we need thee, Lord, to manifest thyself as the one that is able to build afresh, and to make us to know the living realities of life and power by the Spirit of grace. And that, O Lord, we pray we may experience, and then we can indeed say that we have come as hungering and thirsting after thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant to us therefore that true hunger for the things of God, for that righteousness we have none of our own. Oh, how we have to prove it. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And as we come before thee, we cannot boast of being one whit better in ourselves than when we came before. And indeed the many times of our seeking to come to the mercy seat, we still have to confess, sinners we are. But oh, it is thy mercy that thou dost not cast us off. It is thy mercy that thou dost not deal with us according to our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. It is thy mercy that thou dost know our frame, and behind us know that we are but dust, and therefore doth see our feebleness and our helplessness, and that thou dost pity poor needy souls. Pour out a blessing, we beseech thee. May we know that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Oh, we pray for faith to see him, who was manifest in flesh, and who walked amongst the people, and who came to those in their lowest state, in their great need and poverty, poverty of soul, and of knowing the things which are true and are honest, and yet made honest through thy divine fear, trembling at thy very presence, brought to confess exactly what the case is, oh, that we may then confess before thee, not seek to hide a secret sin. Lord, may we consider the solemn state of Achan, who hid the cursed thing. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we might confess indeed, willingly at thy throne of grace, and with that hope that he that confesseth his sin, thou art faithful and just to forgive. With that hope, that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We do desire, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon this anniversary occasion. And Lord, as we may pass from year to year, may we remember all the way that thou hast led. May we note the times that we've been able to raise up Ebenezer's, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And through the years of this place being open, and the people gathering, can they not say that the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad? And Lord, we seek that those things may be known again. Times of blessing, now we seek those times again, the blessed outpouring of thy Spirit, the ingathering of precious souls, that they might know the truth that sets them free. We do, Lord, desire that there may be that gracious increase. Nothing is too hard for thee. How desolate was the scene when Jeremiah purchased the possession, and there were the open seals and the the ones that were closed, that which was all sealed up, the unknown to Jeremiah, yet the known to thee. And Lord, therefore, thou dost bring forth of thy purchased possession those whom thou wilt bring, and we are persuaded that not one will be left behind, left out, but thou wilt gather thy dear people unto thyself in the course of time. And may it be that even now is the set time to favour Zion. Oh, how we plead it. These are dark and dismal days. Sin indeed is rife. The Satan seems to be let loose. There is much evil that does prevail. We find that the world has crept into the church. There are many that seek to serve God and mammon. We do not see the separation and do not feel that separation even in our own hearts. We have to confess it. Oh Lord, we are cumbered about, but oh, may we know Mary's portion and come and sit at thy feet. May each feel that in a small measure that is their desire, and may they prove that they come there at thy appointed time. We would desire, Lord, to commend unto thee, especially thy dear servant, who has laboured here over many years, but because of his sickness and the treatment that he has passed through and the effects that it has had upon him, laying him at times very low, we will be thankful for a little increase in strength, but not able to minister at present, let alone on such an occasion as this. We do commend him into thy gracious care and keeping. Oh, may it be thy good pleasure to strengthen him, that he may again minister amongst the churches, and that there may be those testimonies of the word having effect in the hearts of those that may hear. Lord, he is but thy mouthpiece, and has been over many years, and an instrument in thine hand, as thy servants are at best. Lord, we cannot bring the blessing, we cannot work the work, but Lord, if thou dost use any of thy dear servants, then we believe that it will be a day in which we shall have to render the thanks due unto thy holy name and say, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name be all the honour, glory, the power, the praise. And Lord, we believe that that is so with our dear friend and brother. But may there be yet the signs following the word he has already preached, And maybe that he has preached here on this occasion. Maybe the word does rest in the heart of one. It may be more thou knowest. The word on different occasions, and there it has been harbored, as it were, within their souls, ready for the time when they must testify and to speak of the Lord's goodness. Oh, we do pray that there may then be yet those evidences that his labour has not been in vain, neither has his strength been spent for naught. And now we pray that today may we prove also that it is a word in season, that it is a word that thou wilt bless, that thou hast given us the word. O Lord, thou knowest how sometimes we fear, lest we should be deceived. But Lord, we do trust that what may be set before the people may be of thee. We do, Lord, desire thy blessing upon those not able to come, confined to their homes. Nonetheless, as we understand, may be able to listen to the word when in their own homes by the means that we have in this our day, when men have been given much wisdom and the devil also has used much of it to his own advantage. Nonetheless, O Lord, we believe that these things, used in a right way and sanctified of thee, may be for the help and benefit and blessing of thy people. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful of any that would have wished to have come, but there have been those things that have prevented, things perhaps that have intervened, things that came about at the, as it were, the 11th hour, preventing them from coming. But Lord, thou canst bless them where they are, and thou canst satisfy them with thy goodness. We do desire, Lord, thy mercy upon the young and rising race. Oh, may they indeed have desires for thine house. May they desire to be found amongst thy people. As they grow up into life, put a hedge about them. Preserve them from the many snares. Lord, thou knowest how Satan is ever ready to claim their young hearts. But, O Lord, thou art able to bring them out from the power of Satan's hands and to spare them of much, that some may find they are left to, or spared from the regrets that some have had when they have been left to go into the world. But Lord, may there be even amongst those that bring in again the returning of prodigals. Oh, we do pray that there would appear and revive thy work in these solemn times. And now, Lord, we do desire thy mercy upon us as a nation. We need leaders that will have wisdom, that wisdom which will be for the benefit of our nation, and the wisdom that will seek God and will turn again to the word of truth. We pray for our Queen and the royal house. Have mercy upon her and them. And Lord, may they be able to acknowledge that thy goodness in sparing our sovereign Queen through the 60 years of her reign. May it be that she is yet spared unto us, for we fear what may become of the institution of the monarchy, if she was suddenly removed. But Lord, we know that thou art over all things. Thou dost not change. Thy purposes cannot be altered. We therefore look to thee. Hear us now then in heaven, thy dwelling place. Pardon and forgive what we have uttered amiss. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 925. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. The church's everlasting head o'er hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Hymn 925.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, and the 4th verse. And he must needs go through Samaria. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4, and verse 4. He must needs go through Samaria. The wondrous purposes of God are not realized by us until he reveals them to us. What he will do is in his inscrutable wisdom, and we cannot say unto him, Aha, what doest thou? But we may prove that the Lord has his sovereign purpose, and often in his mysterious ways. And how often it is that God does move in mysterious ways in the paths of his people. Our dear friend and brother John Broome has been laid aside over some considerable time. When I sat in the pew this time last year, I little thought that I would be found in the pulpit this year. But we trust that it is in the appointments of God that this is so. And we are not to question the Lord's purposes, but rather to look and see whether there is a purpose in it. And it will be a great mercy if we can see that there is a purpose in it. Not long after I went out into the ministry, some 30-odd years ago, finding that to take the two services certainly seemed to take it out of one, and often felt exhausted on the Monday morning. On this occasion, my father on the Saturday was taken ill and took to his bed. I was preaching the next day, morning and afternoon, at a place of a considerable distance away. I suppose something like 100 or so miles or more. And my father said to me as I went to say goodbye to him, he said, lad, you must take the evening service tomorrow. And feeling as I have already expressed, almost the impossibility of being able to get back, and the exhaustion that I would feel, I said, I don't think I can do it, Father. To which he said, yes, you can, most emphatically. He said, what is more, it is that you may have a work to do that I cannot do. I shall never forget his words. It may have seemed strange that a poor, helpless vessel called to preach the word should be able to do what another who had been ministering many years longer could do in his place. And yet I believe that though I returned on that Sunday afternoon, having little time to spare to even think of what I should preach upon, and going up into the pulpit much tried. Yet I believe that that was a time of blessing to several. May we prove that today there is this needs be that we have had to come to Swavesey, as there was the needs be that the Lord should go through Samaria, and that there may be a work that needs to be done this day, which our dear friend would not be appointed to do. Just to make clear what I mean, David had his messengers. And you will remember that when he left Jerusalem, because Absalom sought to make insurrection against David, that he spake to Zadok, that he had Jonathan and Ahimaaz, who he could send to, and Joab also said to Zadok and Joab, I think it was, that they had Jonathan and Ahimaaz, whom they could send to bring David word. They were David's appointed ones, so it would seem. But when the battle had been fought, Absalom had been slain, though Ahimaaz was insistent that he should go and tell the tidings, yet Joab knew the one to tell them was Cushai. And so Cushai was sent to tell those tidings, and so it was appointed that it should be him. Well, we feel, friends, that we must needs come here today. When we gathered at our annual meetings at Clifton in April, sitting there in the pew, suddenly some of you Swavesey friends walked in to the chapel and down the aisle. Immediately my mind went to this occasion, and this word entered in to my heart. He must needs go through Samaria. Well, I trust it's not me. I trust it is the Lord himself that you will prove that comes to you here. And so we do desire that the Lord may bless as only he can. Now the Lord must go through Samaria. He knew that he must go, because he received such things of his father. I and my father are one. So he did all things as he was commanded of his father. And we find that this is set forth in several of the later chapters of this gospel, where the Lord makes it plain, such as this: my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Again, we find another word to convey how our Lord acted according to his Father's will and good pleasure. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. The Lord knew the purpose, though, why he must go through Samaria. There he was to have a feast, to have to eat that meat that the world knows nothing of, to bring a dear woman, and there be others also added who should come to know his grace, his love, his mercy, to know him as the true and living God, and to acknowledge him as such. So he must needs go through Samaria. And so he came to Samaria and to that city, Sychar, where was Jacob's well. And it was at that noon time, Jacob, when he sought to get him a wife, being sent by his father Isaac and mother Rebekah, and he came to Haran, he came to the well at the time of the heat of the day, the noon time, as it would seem. Jacob sought him a wife. Here the heavenly bridegroom comes to seek out those that will be members of the mystical and glorious bride, and not one of them will be overlooked, left out, omitted. No, he will bring them, even according as he prayed in his high priestly prayer, that 17th chapter. Them are other sheep have I that are not of this fold, them I must also bring. So he brings every one by his own gracious work and power. In these days of his flesh, he went about that he might not call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came that he might bring forth the poor and enrich them with his mercy, that he would raise up beggars and provide for them, that he would open the eyes of blind and stop the ears of deaf, that there should be the power of God known in their midst. The power of God to perform that work, that saving work, the work of his grace. And it is this work that we declare or try to. We may be poor in it, but the Lord can make you rich. Our poverty will not prevent his power. What a mercy that is. Those of you that are the Lord's servants, and you feel that you come to the end, and all you want to do is to hide yourself away. You find you have to mend your nets indeed. Much seems to have got away. You'd hope to gather it in. You feel to have failed. But who knows? Who can tell? Have we needed to fish, as it were, in Galilee's waters? Or have we had to pass through Samaria? The Lord's work, it is a sovereign one. And he not only works in a sovereign way, but at a sovereign time. And what may be sown, as we read, another may reap. What may be sown today, we may perhaps have to watch over many days, months or years, for bread cast upon the waters is found after many days. The husbandman hath need of much patience. May that be a word for any of you who feel almost at your wit's end in your ministry. But now to return. We return to our dear Lord and Saviour, who had come to this place, and there he was wearied and sat on the well, entering into somewhat the feelings and also the infirmities of his dear people. But here one came to him, there to obtain water from the well. She did not realize unto whom she was coming until she found that he was there. To come this today, hardly knowing perhaps the reason as to why, and yet perhaps you've come purely out of carnal reasons. But if you find the Lord Jesus there, sitting on the well, not that which you may wish to draw from, but rather to draw from another source, the one that sits thereon, not the well itself. The cistern waters, says the hymn writer, art thou sick? Has the Lord sickened you of the waters of a mere profession? Perhaps you have thought that you were one following in the way. If that is the case, then let's examine it. Have you joined, as it were, the Lord's chariot? You say, no, I could not do that. Then let us examine the case. How we may come often seeking to draw from on the grounds of a profession, and all we draw is that which is pleasing to our fleshly, though religious part. But the Lord on this occasion is there to meet with you. Oh, that he might meet with us each personally this afternoon. And he inquired of her that he may receive water. And she was astonished to think that he should ask of her. Rather than it be the other way round. But this is how he begins. What can we give? The well indeed is deep. We have not that to draw with. Ah, but Christ has no need to draw of this, but he can give unto us that living water. Well, the dear woman, she first of all came then that she might learn her ignorance, thinking that she knew much. She could testify who had given them the well. She could speak of those things. But, she was ignorant of the living God. She was ignorant of true, vital worship. She was ignorant of the one that spoke to her, until by little he discovered to her who he was. But first of all it was to reveal to her her ignorance. So she was ignorant of that need. She was ignorant of the way of worship, the true way of worship. We know what we worship, said the Lord to her, for salvation is of the Jew. Ah, the spiritual Jew, the Jew that comes by faith, he that possesses the spirit to worship God. Yes, they are brought to know, and little by little so was she. Is it in your heart to desire that you might know how to worship the Lord God? You may perhaps say, well, I've said my many prayers, but the apostle writes to those Romans that we know not how to pray as we ought. But this, though the apostle felt ignorant in that sense, this he did know, that the Spirit maketh intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. Can you come in there, friends? The groanings that cannot be uttered. The worship then is no longer a matter of ignorance. You come and you breathe out your sighs, not your well-ordered orations. No, you come feeling your utter helplessness in these things. And so you are taught that your helplessness, your inability. But then the Lord revealed unto the woman what the need was. She had need of living waters. But where should she get these living waters? Well, as she was brought to feel the need within, so the Lord graciously unfolded to her by what means these waters may be obtained. And we will come to that again in just a moment. But another thing that the Lord revealed unto this woman was her sin. And it was in a few words that she was brought to feel and know her sin. The Lord saith unto her, go, call. thy husband. Her past life was all revealed. She had not a husband. In that spakest thou truly, but thou hast had five husbands. And he who is the thou hast is not thine husband. Therefore it was revealed, her awful adultery. But the Lord will reveal our sins. He will show us what we are before him. You know, one will never come to Christ as ignorant of sin. Because he'll have then no need if he's ignorant of his sins. But when they are revealed, when the Lord discovers the blackness of our own heart, when he shows to us the very nature of our sin. It may not be actual adultery. Is it spiritual adultery? It may not be. And what is spiritual adultery? It's idolatry. Are we wedded to this world and the things of it? Or do we have to leave all to follow him? Is the cross placed before us? Oh, that is a solemn, a most sacred thing to be set before you. It means two things particularly, and much more, it is true. But the two things I set before you is this. Firstly, the one that you'll be called to follow, despised of men. One in whom the world sees no beauty. That will be a way that you will have to walk in following him, to know the way of the cross. It will be persecution. And we enter into the kingdom of heaven by much and through much tribulation. Consider therefore that if the Lord sets before you the cross, then he sets before you what he is in the eyes of men and of the world. But then there is this aspect. Not only the one you follow, but what you have to leave. And you'll have to leave this self. This self all behind. Like the woman left her water pot, not to drag up the mires of what she had done so often. There are many, you know, they still want to carry their water pot and have sometimes a dip into the things of this world and this life. And they like a profession that will give them a little freedom in those things that are pleasing to the flesh. But she had to leave her water pot. She had to leave it there at the cistern. And soon the water pot would doubtless break and be useless. What does it matter? She had found something different. It was her own earthen vessel that must be filled, not with earthly water, but with heavenly. now a sense of our sin, of our vileness and wretchedness, to lead us then to him who is able to supply us out of his fullness of grace. Well, we receive this life brought to confess, but also to ask, and to ask of him. And it is a precious prayer we find often on the lips of the Lord's people: give me Christ, or else I die. You see a particular satisfaction in him. You realize that he is the all and in all. You must be a partaker of himself, those are things which he has done for you. And what has he done? He has given of his flesh, and he has given of his blood. Except ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, ye have no life in you. Ah, then, the great concern of the soul is that you might know what it is to partake. And you will therefore, in partaking of that divine nature, being partakers of the divine nature, being born again, not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible, possessing now that new creature, which, or that new man, which can never sin, abhors sin, and would therefore cause you to draw back on many an occasion. You may feel that you do not draw back as you would or as you should. Doubtless, friends, that is true. The power of your old self, oh, it seems to overcome. And the Lord sometimes will permit that old self to seem to get the upper hand, so that you may not trust in it. You may not then think that you are better than another. You may not be given then to boasting, or to settle down upon your knees, but rather to stir you up, to make you a frequent visitor at the throne of God's mercy, there to repent daily. I'd repent of sin. Well, you're driven to the throne of mercy on account of all that you feel, all the struggle, all the wretchedness, all the vileness. And yet that new nature, that has not been affected. No. Rather, it is like the seed. It is the grace that will increase. You in yourself must decrease. It is what the apostle wrote in conclusion, that second epistle of Peter, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You will never grow in that, in your former ignorances, or your old nature will never grow in that grace and knowledge. It is the new nature that you are brought to know and to experience. Well, she came to know her sin, but she came also to know him. And he sweetly, blessedly reveals himself when she said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. He had already been telling her of those all things, all about herself. Has the Lord been telling you of the all things about yourself? He may have done so through, perhaps, a number of the Lord's servants. You have to go back over the number of years when there was that revelation of truth to your soul. You come to today, and is there that unfolding, that informing of the Spirit to your own heart as to what you are and what you must do? Well, Jesus saith unto him, unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon which the disciples returned, the woman, she left her water pot, she went to her kinsfolk, she told them, come, see a man that told me all things whatsoever I had did. Is not this the Christ? Can you say that Christ is God? That Christ is God, I can avouch, and for his people cares. On what grounds? Is it as the hymn writer says, for I have prayed to him as such, and he has heard my prayer? Your little prayer, Lord, help me. Ah, what a prayer that was. She worshipped. True worshipper. You come in there, dear friends. As a true worshipper, you have no other one to go unto. If it should be said to you this afternoon, will ye also go away, when you may see perhaps the pews that were filled by those who no longer are here, they've gone. I don't mean to glory, I mean they've gone into the world. What has made the difference? Has there been a cry put in your heart? Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, help me. And help me to come. Help me to look alone to thee. Show me thyself. You know what comes before that, don't you? Show me myself. But if the Lord has been showing you something of yourself, then is this your cry? Show me thyself. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Well, this was the case with this dear woman. She could now make that profession. Come, see a man. Ah, a man that was touched with the feeling of her infirmities, a man who knew her case, a man who could show her the antidote to all her trouble, a man who could draw her out and draw her unto himself in love and in sincerity. A man, this real man. Oh, to be drawn therefore unto him. Yet, not the man only, but the dear Son of God, the one who is the Emmanuel, revealing himself to you, the one who comes in the midst and shows what. He showed those disciples his hands and his side and said, be no more faithless, but believing. Ah, it is I. Be not afraid. Is that what you need? To give you the courage, the encouragement, to venture in that way that he has called you to. Be ye followers of me. Well, those were the words of the apostle, but what was the apostle done? He knew what it was to be a follower of Christ. Be ye a followers of me as dear children. As dear children. You may say, can I return in prodigal, be one of the children? Has you now been brought to a desire to be found in the Father's house? Ah, my dear friend. He was received as a child, not as a hired servant, though he would have been thankful to be that. But the ring was brought and put on the finger. The shoes were put on the feet. The fatted calf was killed. There they were to rejoice. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, the 99 just persons. He must needs go through Samaria for this one sheep, this one lost one, the one who might have been cast off by many, but he would bring her to confess. Is not this the Christ? Amen.
Tea will be provided on the right-hand side of the chapel shortly after the close of this service, and the collections today are for the Chapel Needy Cases Fund. Let us close with hymn 1065. O Thou from whom all goodness flows, I lift my heart to Thee in all my sorrows, conflicts, woes. Jesus, remember me. Hymn 1065.
Imagine, dear Lord, what thy pure eyes have seen amiss in us. May there be those cries go up from our hearts, even as the prayer of our hymn, "Dear Lord, remember me." And if, Lord, there is one here that cries that cry, may they find that thou dost grant them all their petitions. Now be with us in the interval. Keep us, Lord, from ourselves. Help us to consider more of him whom we profess to own and serve. So hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place, for Christ's sake. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us. Amen.